We're recording.
Okay, hey.
Welcome to episode 14 of Dory, Matt and Dory. You know, it's our excellent adventure.
I'm Dory Shafrir, and my eggs are old.
I'm Matt Meyer, my sperm's real dumb. I got a pretty sweet email. Customer survey assignment that will pay me $355.
What?
It's a secret shopper thing. Guaranteed spam mail.
Oh.
Just came in. 9 a.m. table read tomorrow. Really going through all my mail
maybe
on
you
the
should,
podcast,
okay, let's
everybody.
Put your phone away because, you know, we don't have that much time today.
We have plenty of time. The audience is listening, I hope. Well, if you're a new listener, welcome. If you're an old listener,
welcome back.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what happened this week? Oh, no. Was that this week?
I went to the acupuncturist.
You went to the acupuncturist. I've been trying to not smoke. It's been a week.
Yeah. You've been taking supplements.
I've been taking, not supplements, antioxidants.
Antioxidants.
You know, some fun pills that don't taste very good.
Oh, really?
No, they're awful.
That must mean that they're good.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a thing I made up.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, so right now, what's the next thing that happens for us? You have to go back the 20...
No.
That was last cycle.
So,
that was the start of the cycle.
So I was on that estrogen and Provera for a week.
Yeah.
That ended on Wednesday, so that ended like 4 days ago.
Yeah.
And then a week to 10 days after that, I will get what appears to be a period, but is apparently not a real period, but it'll feel like a period.
It's like a comma.
It's like a colon.
Mm. Ew.
Not your colon, the punctuation mark.
Right.
And then I will go in on day two, and then she's going to shed my lining. I don't know
Sounds
what that
exciting.
Means.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Should go in and scrape the wall?
I mean, your period is shedding your lining. Like, your lining comes out in your period. Oh, that's what happens.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. You didn't have health.
Didn't have health?
Like, in eighth grade, you didn't have health.
Or they split us.
In fifth grade.
They would split us.
Oh, so you didn't learn about periods.
No, I just learned about dicks.
What'd you learn?
How great they are.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they taught you guys?
I don't remember anything.
Did they tell you not to jerk off?
No. No, I went to public middle school. Yeah.
I just wonder, like, I don't know, what do they tell people in Catholic school?
Great question. I don't know. Probably just that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we're all born with original sin, and we're probably all going to hell.
They tell you that
pretty much covers it.
They tell you that in health class?
That is all classes.
Oh, okay.
Math class, science class. Definitely theology.
Cool. So I'll go in, and then she's putting me on a course of estrogen to line up my follicles.
Line them up?
Yeah.
Have you talked to her more?
No, she said all this when we saw her.
Boy, you're remembering a lot more than I am.
You were sort of in and out, as like paying attention-wise, I think.
I disagree. I think I paid plenty of attention.
Well, anyway, she's going to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to start a cycle.
Right.
Remember when we were in the exam room and you were like, okay, so like you were worried about my book running up against
worried about
it.
Your book running up against it.
And so then she took out her calendar and she was sort of like counting weeks and she was like, okay, well, assuming all goes well, first week of March. And we were like, okay, cool.
Yeah. We got big plans, you know?
Yeah. So, so that's the deal. But she sent me to this acupuncturist who wants me to, have a cup of bone broth a day. So that's on the stove right now.
Oh, is that what the
giant
pot is?
Yeah. Also, bone broth.
Yeah.
I'm saying that in air quotes.
Sure.
From what I can tell, is just chicken stock or beef stock. Like all of a sudden,
yeah, that's what it is.
They just started calling it bone broth and charging like $5 for like a tiny cup of it.
Who charges $5 for a cup of it?
Bougie restaurants.
Oh, no, it's just stock.
It's insane. It's like if you read like...
But we all knew it was just stock. The world knows that.
I don't... It's like the rebranding of chicken stock is the biggest scandal of...
No, I feel like the branding of lies as alternative facts is the biggest scandal.
Bone broth is fake news.
Oh, God. Yeah, we just did the show in San Francisco last night.
Yeah, how did it go?
Met a lot of fans of our show.
Really?
I think so. I mean, a lot of people came up afterwards and said, I say a lot. I say like five people. It was pouring rain, though, so I understand why there weren't a lot of people waiting out there.
That's so nice, though.
Yeah, it was good. I talked about the podcast. I told everybody to buy your book.
Thank you.
So.
Start up a hopefully. Novel.
Yep. Asked Hardwick to pay for a round of IVF. Didn't go over great.
Damn.
With him, the audience loved it.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you really put him on the spot.
Yeah. Well, he was giving out $100 bills just because people were right about Star Trek and I was wrong. So.
You were wrong about Star Trek?
I just had the season wrong. I knew the title of the episode.
Bo, do you hear that?
Bo's on the couch.
Oh, there he is. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway.
So, yeah. So the acupuncturist... she really wants to see you. I told her that most likely was not going to happen.
Correct. Because I'd have to have my shirt off, and I'm not doing that.
Also, she's in Los Feliz, and I feel like when am I going
east? I don't go east.
Yeah.
I only go west.
But I'm going to see her every week.
Okay.
It seems like she's covered by insurance, which is like great.
Good luck. I hope it continues to be seeming like it's covered by insurance.
Well, my insurance covers acupuncture. I called, okay, and she takes insurance, so it's just a question of does she take my insurance, and her person was like checking on that. But if that is the case, every visit would cost me $10, which would be
sounds
amazing.
Like a bargain. Really does.
Yeah, no, seriously, a bargain. You lie there and she puts pins in you and you like nap for 20 minutes.
Wow.
It's really nice. Yeah.
Why don't we tell people what we have coming up a little bit later in the show?
Guys, while Matt was walking Bo for the third time in the space of like an hour, the fourth time?
That was the fourth time he went out.
That was the fourth time you took him out?
The fourth time I took him out.
He kept taking Bo out and oh, right, because the first time he just turned right around.
First time he was like, there's rain, I don't care for this.
And then, and he just kept not pooping, but getting really agitated when he would come in. Anyway, I talked to two sisters who, one of them donated eggs to the other. And now the other one has a four and a half year old son.
Wow.
So we talked all about that. It's a really cool interview. And they are like sister goals. I mean, no, I love my sister. We have a great relationship.
Goals.
But they're just like, it was amazing. Like the sister was like, she said to her older sister, well, you know what? I don't want to give away.
Don't give it away.
Yeah, I'm
don't
not giving
spoil
you away.
It.
You guys can listen.
Stay tuned.
You
guys
can keep listening.
We're gonna do some emails, and then you're gonna hear Dory use her amazing journalistic interview skills to prod an interview out of two people over Skype, which was a very complicated setup. But
it was.
I managed to get it going.
Crazy. There's like a huge storm on Long Island tonight. One of them was in Long Island.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wicked stormy.
So the first thing of order of business that we have is we have a contest winner.
Contest? Oh, this is the contest where you asked everyone to please ask their local library to purchase your book so that they may eventually take it out of the library.
Correct.
And we asked that you sent proof that you did that.
Correct.
And then we randomized the winner.
Correct.
And we have a winner.
We have a winner.
Get a signed copy.
Yes.
Of Dori Shafrir's exciting new novel, Startup. A novel.
And also, before I say the winner
available
is...
Available on Amazon.
And Barnes & Noble and IndieBound. And your local bookstore. Thank you to everyone who did this. It was so cool. All these people, like actually all over the world. A bunch of people in New Zealand.
Ooh.
Like, everyone was like, I requested your book from the library.
Are you getting printed in New Zealand?
No. We haven't sold the UK rights yet. So they would have to buy the American version.
Buckle up, UK. You're going to have to read the American version.
Yeah, it's going to say, like, realized with a Z, and you're going to be like, what? Or a Z. You say Z. Mm. Okay, so the contest winner is, drumroll, Edwin Avalos.
Edwin Avalos, congratulations.
He requested the book from the Hennepin County Library in Minnesota.
Oh.
Yeah.
It'll keep you warm during the cold April month.
Yeah. So thank you, Edwin. Please get in touch with your address and I will send a copy over.
Yeah. Send your email to mattanddory@gmail.com with the subject line, I'm Edwin.
Yeah. Well, it'll say from.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make it fun.
Oh. And also, thank you to everyone who left us a rating and a review on iTunes. Very much appreciated.
And Edwin, if you are a fan, not only of my wife and her amazing book, and you're a fan of me, tell my wife in the email and I'll send you a random book off my bookshelf. I'm staring at my bookshelf right now.
I feel like all the books you own are ones that you actually really care about.
Well, we did go through a lot of books, but I feel like I can...
You could choose one?
I can get rid of something.
All right. Leave us a rating and review on iTunes, please. Join our Facebook group.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/group/excellentadventure. There's been some great conversations there on there lately.
A lot of slash fic there.
No. And our website is doryandmatt.com, where you can read a little bit more about the podcast and donate. So Matt can...
We should buy Matt and Dory and then just redirect.
Yeah, we should. Okay.
We might do that between now and you hearing it.
Yeah, because we don't want any of you domain squatters to buy it up.
You're the worst.
Someone bought DoryShafrir.com.
Someone bought MattMyra.com. And whoever did was a listener to the Nerdist podcast. And I asked that it just be redirected to a Google search for cat pizza. And it is. So if you go to MattMyra.com, you'll get a Google image search of cat pizza. It's a lot of cats with some pizza.
That's amazing. All right. We're going to read a couple emails because then we want to get to the interview. We don't have that much time. And Matt has to go off and do his second podcast of the evening, Star Trek, The Next Conversation, with Andy Secunda.
One of those three podcast weekends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, this is from Christina from Boston.
What up?
Hi there. Thanks so much for doing this podcast. I first heard about it on The Nerdist.
Ooh.
Thank you. And immediately binged through episode 12. It's great how open you are about your experience, and it's really helpful to hear other people's stories. I currently live in Boston and used to live in Worcester.
Worcester.
So I get a kick out of all the Massachusetts references. I have no clue what pyramid building Matt was talking about in episode 11,
though. I swear to God, guys, it exists. I feel like it was a Circuit City at some point. I never even looked it up.
Anyway, go ahead. I'll be on the lookout for it, though. For it now. As for my story, my husband and I have been trying to have a baby for several years. We've had 4 failed IUIs, and IVF ICSI would be the next step. My question for you is, was there ever a point before starting IVF where you hesitated and didn't know if you wanted to go through the process for whatever reason? Or were you always 100% on board? I ask because I'm struggling with making the final decision to move forward with IVF. Best of luck on your journey to parenthood, Christina from Boston.
I think we just knew we wanted kids, so
yeah,
we figured out, well, how do you get kids, and then that was one way to do it.
Also, as I think we've discussed before, you were always convinced that it was you, and that we were gonna have to do IVF, which turned out to be correct.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
No, so sorry.
Yeah. So no, I mean, I didn't really I always assumed that I would have to do it because I was going to be old.
And I assumed that since I hadn't gotten anyone pregnant in my 20s, I must be infertile.
I mean, when you first said that, I was like, whatever. But then I was actually thinking about my ex-boyfriends, and so many of them were like, yeah, I got someone pregnant. So
there you go.
So there's a lot of accidental pregnancies out there.
There are. And you know what? That's why we support Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
We like to plan on parenthood.
Yeah. Go donate to Planned Parenthood while you're at it, by the way. Okay. I'm going to save this one for the next time because it's kind of a long and intense one.
All right.
And,
well, Christina, congratulations on being less intense and less long. So anyway, yeah, I feel like it's not, I mean, you're listening to us go through the process right now and it seems like it's not a lot of fun and it's not, but I'm told that the end result is nice.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing it.
All right. Here's another one. This is from Ryan.
What up, Ry?
Hey, Matt and Dory. My name is Ryan. I'm a huge podcast fan. I started listening to Matt talk about your journey and his dumb sperm on the Nerdist. Oh, another Nerdist
very
listener.
True. Very true.
And promptly shut it off. Oh.
Oh, no.
And downloaded your show.
Oh, thank God.
That was a roller coaster.
Up and down.
Yeah. I wasn't aware how interested I'd be in IVF and your pregnancy journey, but here I am. I'm a teacher in New York, and I've been listening on commutes and currently during a big grading binge. I'm in the middle of My Two Dads, which is interesting to me because as a gay man, this may just be my future.
Oh.
You've touched on how you thought about sperm donation, and I got into thinking about becoming a donor. I'm very empathetic listening to these journeys of struggle and like the idea of being able to help. I've filled out some forms for clinic in Manhattan, but I'm wary on pressing send. As someone who wants kids, I feel weird having a mini-me coming into the world without my knowledge. Then again, when I decide to have my future children, I wouldn't want the birth mother involved, so I shouldn't let that be weird to me, right?
Right.
It seems like a nice thing to do, and it's a nice pay addition to a not-so-great new teacher's salary. Curious to hear your thoughts. Side note, if Paris Geller was working at the clinic, I'd so be in, right, Matt?
Totally.
Good luck with your continuing journey, Ryan.
Paris Geller, greatest character in Gilmore Girls history. Although, I mean, Emily really storming up the rear with this great arc she had in A Year in the Life. But I've always been a fan of Paris. And I've always said that Paris is the only character on Gilmore Girls who actually changed over the 7 years.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think as a man?
About sperm donation?
Yeah.
I say go for it. You're never going to know if any of it takes.
That's true. Someone might not choose you.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to feel good.
But he won't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't know.
When you're a sperm donor, though, don't you get like a phone call and you have to go in and... Or do they just keep your sperm on ice?
I think they just keep your sperm. Maybe they're... Actually, I don't know. I thought they just kept your sperm.
I don't know. I mean, why don't they just keep my sperm? Do you know what I mean?
Because it's never... With sperm donation, you're never using fresh sperm. You're always using frozen sperm.
I know, but like, why can't we get a good batch of my sperm and freeze it?
I don't know. Probably because fresh, I think all things being equal, like fresh sperm is always going to be better than frozen sperm.
Yeah, but frozen embryos are always better than fresh embryos.
No, it's that they think the environment is more receptive when you're using a frozen embryo because your body has time to recover from everything you've been doing to it and it gets time to prep for the embryo transfer. It's not.
I see. It's not the embryo
itself. It's not so much the embryo itself. And also there's a small danger. There is a very small danger that when you thaw the embryo that it disappears. That you lose the embryo. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like a very small chance, but there is a chance.
Okay.
That's like when, you know, when people talk about egg freezing, there's not enough data right now to know how successful it is because they haven't had enough women thaw their eggs yet and try to get pregnant from them.
Interesting.
Because sometimes the eggs don't survive the thaw.
Oh, I'd survive the thaw as a human being.
You would.
I'm thinking about getting cryogenically preserved.
You are?
No, I've been reading about it a lot, though.
Huh. These girls at work I overheard them talking about cryotherapy, you know, when you get
into
when
you freeze your fat?
No, it's just when you
recovery for injuries?
Yeah, you like go into a tank and it's supposed to be like, good for you, but there's that girl who died.
Well, you know. People die doing everything.
That's true.
People have died playing video games. Not going to stop me.
I feel like you should read the next email because it's about Canada.
Oh, I love Canada, as we all know. Is it this one from Kelsey here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In episode 10, you both spoke very positively about traveling to my glorious nation of Canada. I've got great news about why 2017 is a fantastic year to come. It's our nation's 150th birthday.
Happy birthday, Canada.
What is that, a sesquicentennial?
Yeah.
Yep. Everyone in Canada is so psyched because to celebrate this occasion, you can order a parks pass that gives you free admission to any national park in Canada for the whole year.
That wow. is very cool.
All that buzzing you hear is Canada rejoicing simultaneously. best wishes in your journey, and hopefully we can see you in Canada soon. I'd love to go to Canada soon. She gives a link to the where to get it.
National you can probably just Google it.
Yeah, you can Google it.
Are you going to say the whole URL?
No, it's a lengthy URL.
Yeah.
Kelsey, thank you for inviting me to my favorite country, Canada.
You love Canada.
I do. I'd like to go again. I guess instead of Montreal, we're going to France, so whatever.
Yeah, to stay with Mosier. Mm-hmm. I think you can read this one.
This is from Daniel in Australia. I'm told by the words on this paper. Hi, Dory and Matt. My name is Daniel Horde. I love it. But Matt can call me Hordelicious. Oh, I can. Longtime Nerdist listener. More hostfuls. Currently in Arizona. I was excited when Matt mentioned the UnIVF podcast, as I can't say... as I can't listen to any of Matt's 400 other podcasts. It's like you choose all the television I've never watched. I'm sorry. Maybe it'd be a good time to get into some of those things. I'd love to do a Cheers podcast, but I'll have to finish Fraser first. Anyway, my wife is currently a surrogate for her longtime friend who lives in Australia. We used her friend's eggs, which were fertilized by her husband. We are being compensated, but well below the average. It was agreed upon, and a contract was involved. They even surprised my family with a trip to Disneyland.
Hey.
Oh, that's cool. I was interested in the Two Dads podcast and the comments about being too close with your surrogate. I've never considered it an issue, as both parents are mature and level-headed adults. My wife and her friend have known each other for 10 years. I think that's where the difference is.
Yeah.
I know you don't have to use a surrogate, but would you choose a rando or a friend? Great question.
Wow.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like, I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house, and I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love, anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher, like in a whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet, not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well.
I don't know why you'd return anything, because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, all I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, your feet will thank you.
You know, I think I would choose a rando.
Really?
Well, I feel like who would I ask and how would I ask them?
I don't know. It's like you have to feel them out. Who would be willing?
I know. Like, just be like, oh, so what do you think about people being surrogates for their friends? Yeah. And see what they say.
I don't know. Make your sister do it. She seemed to be sick constantly while she was pregnant.
Yeah, she'd
love it.
She was great. Great at being pregnant.
Before this gets too long, I just want to say thank you for chronicling your journey. And I know the second round will result in a pregnancy. Ooh, took my wife 2 rounds as well. Oh, Matt, you said a few times that you wish there was more the man could do in the process. So get on that quitting smoking bandwagon. I'm on it, begrudgingly. Hell, do some acupuncture. I don't think so. Anything and everything that could help, you should do. Damn it.
Oh, thank you, Daniel. Hordelicious. Thank you, Hordelicious.
Hashtag Team Jonah. That's Ooh. Funny. My kid. Thanks for a great time, guys.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Thanks, Daniel.
Who would we ask? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I know of people who I'd be like, oh, you could carry my child.
But it would have to be someone who had already been pregnant.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
And like,
do we know anybody who's already? Well, I know we know people, but like, I'm like, well, anyway. We'll figure it out. Maybe a listener will carry our baby.
Oh, God. I hope we don't. I hope it doesn't get to that point.
This is from Annie. Hey, Matt and Dory. Love your podcast. It has kept me sane through the dreaded 2-week wait and the subsequent utter disappointment of not being pregnant.
Oh, sorry, Annie.
Listen, we've been there. Just really good at detecting possible symptoms. Not being pregnant. Just really good at detecting possible symptoms. Oh, I see what you're saying. I think. I'm curious if you or your listeners have advice about when to see a specialist versus a regular OBGYN. I'm 32 and have been trying to get pregnant for a little over 6 months. My primary care doctor referred me a fertility. What? That's not even a word. Fertility clinic. My insurance is HMO, which might be a factor. However, it seems early to go to a specialist. My biggest problem is that I'm not getting a period, so I have no idea if or when I'm ovulating. From sister's experience, as well as other listeners, it sounds like there are medications that, and tests to jumpstart ovulation.
I think it's the next page.
I would love to learn more about the early steps in your process and when you transitioned from an OBGYN to a more specialized physician or IVF clinic. What information did you have before starting your IVF journey?
Was that the whole email?
No, it wasn't the whole email. It was just like stopping for us to answer her question.
Oh, okay. Because I felt like that was kind of, it's like a little bit of a long answer. So maybe we should finish the email.
Thank you for being so candid in your experience. My husband and I both listen, and it's helped us get some insight on how to better support each other through the slog of trying and waiting to make a baby. Also, as a side note, I tried to make an appointment today with a new doctor in my network. The receptionist said she was sorry there weren't any openings until May. Then she added that it was May of 2018.
Jesus Christ.
Good luck to you guys. I'm rooting for you. And Dory, I can't wait to read your book when it comes out.
Oh, my book, Start Up a Novel, that you can pre-order on Amazon.
Or Barnes & Noble.
Or IndieBound. So, yeah, that HMO thing is a wrinkle that we have not had to deal with. Because I have a PPO. So I don't know what your situation is in terms of being able to see a specialist, but also I think at your age, they want you to be trying for a year before they have you see a specialist.
So you got like 6 more months.
You have 6 more months of
trying natural.
Of doing it. And
maybe you want to take that appointment, that 2018 appointment.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
No, I know.
Then by then, maybe you'll be like, okay.
Also,
now we're ready to
that doctor is bound to have some cancellations.
I would assume.
So you can probably get in a little earlier. What about
when you decided to see a specialist?
Well, I decided after 6 months of trying because I had had a conversation with my OBGYN and she was like, I normally tell people to try for a year, but because I was already 38, I think at the time, she's like, because you're 38, try for 6 months and then go see a specialist.
Yeah.
And then that was when I found Dr. Weiner, who is a reproductive endocrinologist, but she doesn't do IVF anymore. But she kind of shepherded me through the process and got all my tests done and gave me some referrals and was just like very supportive in those early initial phase. She got you tested.
Yep.
And she kind of like gathered all of our information and like walked us through the process. So she was like a Sherpa. And I liked her. She was very like no nonsense. And I liked that her office was kind of like old.
Yeah.
Like she was just like all business.
Yeah.
She didn't need any newfangled.
No, and her furniture in the waiting room I felt like was like off of the Golden Girls lanai.
Totally. And on the TV, she always had some sort of like Channel 1 type like health infomercial thing on.
Yeah. Yeah. She was good.
Yeah, I liked her.
She referred us to a couple of doctors, some IVF clinics and stuff like that. She gave us the heads up on some clinics losing embryos and things of that nature.
And she's also very big on the genetic testing.
She loves a genetic test.
So I would see if you can see a reproductive endocrinologist and just get those tests done if you're worried about it. But really, I mean, I don't think you have to do it for 6 more months, honestly.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to see a specialist. So
yeah.
Put off, if you're worrying about it, stop thinking about it. Just keep trying.
Yeah.
It's from Sarah.
Okay. Hi, Sarah.
She says, hi, Matt and Dory.
Oh, hi.
I've been listening to your podcast and love your perspective on IVF and how it functions within your normal lives. I'm curious as to how you guys will keep doing what you're doing. Parenthetical, adult life, work, writing, podcasting. Close parenthetical. Once you're pregnant / having the Matt rebaby.
Oh.
Instead of doormat.
Okay.
I'm a single mom with a 3-year-old, which I have raised on my own since he was born. His name is Fox.
Ooh.
Good name.
Cool name.
It's only been within the last year that I've begun working from home, hosting my own podcast, and attending local cons. Intermingling my work life with my Fox life has been challenging, and in short, I wonder how you guys envision everything working together down the road. I hope you... Why have you not plugged... What is your podcast? You should tell us what your podcast is so we can plug it. Hope you turn this into a book. I think it would dominate the baby book market. Yeah. Have you pitched this to your literary agent?
No.
Think about it.
Aaliyah, if you're listening... Get at
She's
me.
She's not listening. I wonder how you guys envision everything working together down the road. It'd be fun. We could like call and response chapters where like you're doing your thing. And then I'm like, well, guys, here's what I was doing.
That would be kind of funny.
Yep. There you go.
Your chapters would be so much more funny than mine would, though.
Well, I'm a comedy writer.
I know.
And you're a serious writer who wrote a very funny novel, Startup, a novel by Dory Shafir. I hope you turn this, but it's great. Also... Make a fun and gross to turn into a children's style picture book. That'd be really funny.
Ooh.
Also, I'm wondering what your advice is for sound quality on podcasts. Lot there.
Yeah.
I have no idea. The answer to that question is I have no idea how we're going to keep doing what we do. That is the real answer.
That is my answer as well.
I have no idea, but think back when I was in high school, I was hanging out at a friend's house,
Peter Maskalok. We're very good friends. I was hanging out at his house, and I remember, and I think about this all the time. His mother was complaining about the laundry not being done. And she just sat, and she sort of sighed, and she said, well, it'll get done. It always does. And that has stuck in my head since she said that. And I apply that to everything in life that I have to do that's hanging over my head. It's like I don't want to worry about things too much because I know it'll get done.
Yeah, like we'll figure it out.
Yeah. So I always think about that. That's sort of been my MO.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I, as you know, I like a plan.
Yeah, you love a plan.
But I find it hard to plan like big things, like big picture things.
Yeah, like houses and...
Yeah, like if you're like, we're going to have people, like, I don't know, we're going to have a dinner party. We wouldn't because you don't like dinner parties, but...
I would have a dinner party. Here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's say we're having a dinner party. I would know how to plan a dinner party.
Sure.
But when you ask me, like, how are you going to juggle kids and work? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess the one thing I will say is, like, I do not anticipate being shy about asking for help.
Who are we going to ask, though? Our family doesn't live here.
I guess... Like, if we can afford it, paying for help.
Yeah. Well, and I also, in order to afford it, we'd have to continue to work.
Right. I know. It's a real catch 22. Yeah. I don't see myself staying home full time. That's just nothing. That's just not who I am. I think people who do it are great and do a great job, but I don't think I could do it. Mm-hmm. So... I don't know, but I feel like at this point, my job / career are more flexible than yours.
Oh, 100%.
So that will definitely factor into things.
Yeah.
But by the same token, I don't want to have to like bear a disproportionate brunt of all of everything.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know how you're not going to have to do that.
I know.
It's a very, it's terrifying a conundrum.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll keep doing this podcast and you'll hear about it every week.
Yeah. It's too bad Bo can't babysit.
I would love it if Bo could babysit, but I think he'd just sleep.
I know.
That's what he's doing now.
He had a tough so day. Much. Yeah, real tough day sitting on the couch and harassing
and
us to go out.
Being afraid of the rain.
Yeah. So I guess stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We'll figure it out, maybe. Yeah. Cool. Oh, sound quality on the podcast. I use a Zoom H6N. It's a great recorder. It's a little expensive, but inherently worth it because it has four XLR inputs, so I can have four mics going at the same time. It also has a left and right mic on the top. There's a number of different attachments that go on the top, so you could have multiple sort of other microphones going as well. I could be getting the ambient of the room if I wanted to. Also, you can plug in a line out into there. It's so handy. I have each mic input has its own levels, so I can do that. So like if I wanted to get a little louder, I could do that.
Whoa.
If I
want
to turn that down, I could do that. Yeah, it's great. I recommend it. And then as far as what I do, I take the audio file, I drop it into GarageBand, I then export a full quality version of it, and then I put that into a program called Levelator where I get the levels all set. It's really a process, but a good microphone and a good recording device. I mean, you could get an H4N, which I think are $250, which you can plug in a couple of... mic inputs. You can plug in two XLRs and that works great as well.
Did you just notice my eyes glazing over?
I did, and I also noticed the podcast listener's eyes glazing over. So I just wanted to wrap that up quickly.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think we have time for one more email before we get to the rest of the podcast.
I agree.
So I'm going to read this email from Molly. who says she was just listening to the latest episode and she attached a screenshot of the request she made to her Canadian library.
Oh.
To purchase Start Up a Novel.
Well, she wrote an email and she did not win the contest.
I know. Sorry, Molly. Ugh. Okay. I'm also happy to hear that Matt thinks Logan is a jerk.
I do.
Matt, do you ship Rory with Jess or Dean, LOL, or Paris or anyone?
Oh, Paris and Rory. You know, I'd certainly think that as things stand now, it appears that Jess is really the one who's going to always be there for her if she needs it. However, I feel like in the last run of Gilmore Girls episodes, it really seems like she needs someone.
Oh.
Something or someone.
I've also been wondering what you thought of the Paris IVF clinic storyline in the Gilmore Girls revival, but maybe that was addressed on Gilmore Guys, and I need to listen to that podcast too.
You can listen to Gilmore Guys if you have 19,000 free hours. I like the Paris IVF clinic stuff. It made sense that she was there. She was literally playing God.
Wow.
That's Paris's character. She's an MD and a lawyer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Cool. And I also second Dory's plea for Matt to stop saying keeping it tight down there, C-sections.
Wait, that was your plea? I thought it was just a listener's plea.
It was a listener and my plea.
Wait, you also plea that you don't want to keep it tight down
there? No, I want you to stop saying.
Are you saying that you're not going to keep it tight down there? Boy, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, everyone. All right. So coming up, I talked to these two sisters, Megan and Eileen, about donating an egg to your sister.
What's that like?
Oh my God.
All right. Buckle up. They're fading in. We're fading out. They're fading in.
Okay.
Well, you're fading in as well.
All right, cool.
I'm out.
Okay. So today we have an extra special episode of Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. We are going to be talking to, I'm going to be talking to sisters, Megan and Eileen, who have a really fascinating story. So do you guys just want to introduce yourselves and tell everyone, I guess, where you live and how old you are?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Sure, I'll start.
You start, Megan.
I will, because I'm the baby sister.
Okay.
So I always get to go first. I am Megan, and I live on Long Island, which is terrible. But I grew up in another suburb of New York with my wonderful older sister, Eileen.
Great.
You want to introduce yourself there, Weenie?
Yes. I'm Eileen, and I am 8 years older than Megan, so I'm 46.
Okay.
And I live in Westchester, which is 30 minutes north of Manhattan.
Cool. So I'm sure everyone is dying to know why you guys are on the podcast. And the reason they're on the podcast is because Megan emailed me. Megan, I think you emailed me after the first episode came out. You were a very early adopter.
I did. Well, I'm a big fan of your writing, Dory.
Oh, thank you.
And so I think I was following you on Twitter and I saw, I watched as you were sort of like publicly coming out as someone battling, swimming upstream through the stream of eggs and sperm. And I remember a lot of people encouraged you to start, a podcast, I guess, because your man's does that, as he talks about constantly?
Yes, indeed. He's not here, so we can say whatever we want about him.
That's really weird.
At some point, I think he wasn't reluctant, but I think he's skeptical, I think is the word. And so he had posted a poll on Twitter asking his followers whether he and I should do a podcast about IVF. And to my surprise and delight, the votes were overwhelmingly in favor. So you had emailed me right after we started the podcast. So why don't you just tell everyone kind of the gist of your email?
Sure. So my email was basically like, hooray, I can't wait to listen to the rest of this podcast, especially because listening to stories of conception is one of my favorite things to do. And talking about conception is one of my favorite things to do. And helping other people conceive is one of my favorite things to do. And I think that I attach a photograph to that first email and introduced you to the very first portrait that my sister Eileen had ever sent me of her son. And that portrait was actually the microscope picture of the embryo that was going to be implanted. This is years ago now. That was made out of my egg that I donated to my sister a bunch of years ago. And that portrait, which at the time, Eileen, you were calling him, I think, Pedro was his in utero name. But his
really?
Name is Teddy. Yeah, Pedro's first portrait.
Wow.
But Teddy's now what, like, he's 4.5?
He is, a little more than that. He's going to be 5 in May. And I had him via IVF. And initially I had actually, I was in my late 30s and single again. And I had been in like a 10-year long distance, stupid relationship. And I just started to freak out, about wanting to have kids, but not necessarily freak out about wanting to be married. So I started
an important distinction.
But, you know, open to it. But, you know, when you're like on Match.com and you're 38 and it says, I want kids, you know, and you put down, you know, here's the window of people that I'm looking at, men who are generally my age or 5 to 7 years older or a couple of years younger, they all kind of panic when they see that because you know that you're basically dating to find someone to have a family with. So, you know, it was just sort of, I was like, let me just pursue it on my own. So I'd gone in figuring I was, you know, I was fine. I was healthy. I'd always had like, you know, regular menses and whatever. And it turned out that I had an issue with premature ovarian failure or insufficiency, POI.
Oh, wow.
And they don't really know why, but I wasn't really making eggs anymore or was making them sort of sporadically. I guess I want to say my THC levels were really high, but I think it's three different letters than that. It's basically a hormone level that tells you whether you're making eggs or not.
I think you're referring to AMH.
TSH or something like that.
THC is pot.
The hormone that, one of those levels is high. And so she's like, basically, there's really very little chance that you're going to be able to, you know, extract enough eggs to have success in IVF. And Megan had actually said when I told her that I was going into this on my own, if you ever need it, I'll carry the baby for you.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. Okay. But she basically put herself out there as like, whatever you need.
I think we need to back up for a second because that is an incredibly generous and amazing offer, Megan.
That's very kind of you to say.
I mean, it is. You know, did this just spontaneously occur to you? Was this something you had been thinking about? I'm just like, I'm curious, like what led you to this decision to offer up your womb to your sister?
So I mean, let's back up to the beginning. My sister is my best friend. Mm-hmm. She is also like a mother figure to me. Mm-hmm. And before this had all happened, my husband Bob and I and our, at the time, 9-month-old daughter Olivia, who's now an 8-year-old monster, who I adore. we had moved into my parents' house.
Okay.
While we looked for our own house to buy. My sister had also moved into our house previously. Because my sister had bought our brother a house when he went through a terrible divorce.
Oh, wow.
That's a whole other podcast.
You guys are such good siblings. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we were kind of... We have kind of loser brother. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, CJ and Eddie. Just kidding. But yeah, I think that we grew up in a family that really values service, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we also grew up in a family where, like, I feel extremely devoted to my sister. Mm-hmm. And we spent this year living together with my kid, and she was just fucking amazing with my daughter. And oh, wow. I really, really wanted her to be a parent.
Megan was also like just in love with being pregnant when she was pregnant and in love with baby. The idea of she wanted, you know, she was talking about being a doula and, you know, really, really getting into this idea of helping people like have babies because she was just so like high on pregnancy and babies and, you know, and
that is true. My second pregnancy cured me of the desire to ever carry another pregnancy though. So,
fair enough. I mean,
thank God it never came to that.
So Eileen, at this point, how old were you at this point? You were 38, 37?
Yeah, then it got into like, I had 39, I want to say.
Okay.
He's 5. You know, it was kind of it took a while. The process took a while. So
right.
If we're going back to when, yeah, because I had to do a bunch of other things before the IVF even happened. There was like a hydrosalpingogram.
Yeah.
And I had a tube tied off. And so it was like, you know, months and months were going by. So it wasn't really until September of 2011.
Okay.
Which would make me 41, I guess.
Right. And I was working that, and I had moved to Long Island at that point.
Right. So September 2011, agency. Between the surgery and the Megan's egg thing, went over the course of that summer.
Okay. Yeah. So at the beginning, so originally you had offered to carry Eileen's child.
She offered anything. She's like, I'll give you anything. She's like, I'll give you eggs. I'll give you, you know, I'll breastfeed you. I'll, I think she just put it out there.
You,
like whatever you,
your child,
whatever you need.
Right. So Megan, talk to me about kind of when you guys came to the conclusion that it would be your egg that your sister was going to carry. How did those conversations go?
Sure. Eileen was keeping me updated as she went through all of these tests and processes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understood pretty clearly as, you know, as she came to understand what the problem, like what the path to fertility was or whatever would be for her. And so I just kept reiterating like, okay, well, it sounds like you might need my eggs. So if you need my eggs, just let me know what I need to do. Or it sounds like, do you need me to drive you to that surgery? I would love to drive you to that surgery. Are you sure you're going to take a cab? And Eileen's communications were always like, well, let's not go too fast here. Like, you know, don't offer these things yet. And, you know, my message was just, I just tried to be really consistent and say, Like, my genetic material is your genetic material, and whenever you're ready for it, I'm ready to give it to you.
Eileen, at any point were you worried that Megan was going to change her mind?
I was worried that she wasn't giving herself enough room to change her mind. Mm. I also felt like there was, you know, there was another person that needed to be part of the process, which was Bob, her husband. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody had enough time to have it sink in, because for me, it was very real. You know, for me, the idea was here I go, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be real. I also didn't want to like get my hopes up and then have it mm-hmm. have somebody, you know, have Megan get into an emotional place where that changed. Like, I was protecting right. my own heart while trying to also protect her mm-hmm. from putting herself out and then finding herself like, you know, the floor no longer under her. So, you know, it's like I'm sort of used to being the I will take care of you person. Mm. Probably also a part of me that was like, you know, it's hard to also very independent, and it's hard for me to accept help even when I'm like, you know, asking for it.
Right.
That is the truth.
Yeah. It was good. The program that I went to at NYU Langone, they had a mandatory therapy session.
For any egg donor or?
For anybody using an egg donor. And then for us, they wanted to have Megan and Bob come in. So we all did separate sessions, and then we did a session together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what and was it was like? It was mandatory for my husband to go into a session for it, too. Yeah, it wasn't like they wanted him. It was mandatory.
Interesting. I mean, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're also very data-driven, and they're very, it's a school, so they also have all of these, you know, they're looking for all of this information. I think they had a lot, the programs are really set up for, you know, female donors to come in. I think that a lot of times, even when I was in the process, they were like surprised that I had a known donor or a sister donor. You know, they didn't even change the prices for me. So it was just as expensive to use Megan as my donor as it would have been to use an anonymous donor through their program.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was very rigid of them. And I think if I had started writing letters and maybe talked to the head of the program, but I just was like, you know, I think you're doing this wrong a little bit, but let's just, you know,
I did not receive any payments for those eggs, although my sister did give me a $50 Visa card that she got for signing up for AccuView lenses.
Oh, that was very sweet.
that was camp fare.
So, Eileen, the fee that you paid NYU did not include any compensation for Megan.
Correct. Yeah.
So I guess that had been an anonymous donor, it would have been something that like an agency would have negotiated. So you probably would have had to pay on top of that. I'm like thinking out loud here.
You pay NYU for their egg for an egg.
Right.
If you want an egg, you pay them, and it's the same. It's like, you know, $20,000 or it's like 10 for the egg donation and 10 for all the IVF.
Right. Oh, right. Because they have to put it
but
in you.
It's not like they, yeah. But then, you know, yeah, their egg donors come in and get paid, but Megan didn't. So it was like a double whammy.
Got it.
As far as money. But I was surprised that they weren't as, you know, the drop down menus didn't always have known familial donors.
So interesting.
You know, it was like, I think that they're just, we're kind of used to people just needing an egg and kind of checking some boxes and waiting for batches. And, you know, the other weird thing is they asked, what do you want us to do with anything that's left over?
Right.
So like,
Yeah.
You know, people are waiting for these donated embryos and donated eggs. And they were like, if Megan has extra, do you want to donate them? And I was like, I don't think so. Let me check with Megan. But
right.
both of us were like, yeah, I don't think so.
So Megan, how did Bob react when you told him that you wanted to donate an egg to your sister?
He wanted to know how egg donation would affect my fertility and how it would affect like my lifetime supply.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really easy question to answer, which is it doesn't.
Right.
He kind of didn't believe me, but I think that's because he's a lawyer and he doesn't believe anything anybody tells him.
Right.
And I think I sent him like a something from like the what is it, the Ketchup Institute, the Mayo Institute,
the least favorite condiment institute,
the Mo Mustard Mayonnaise Institute.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That proved my point that, you know, studies have shown that, you know, it doesn't have an effect on your fertility or your lifetime egg supply to donate. And then he was like, yeah, cool. I don't want to drive you there. Is that cool? Can you take a cab?
Yes, I've got a $50 gift card.
Yeah, conveniently.
Yeah.
And go on. Sorry, go
on. Bob knows Eileen. Bob feels about Eileen the way I do. And I think fatherhood really profoundly surprised Bob when it happened in ways that, you know, he is still sort of shocked by, even 8 years on. And once we had a kid, he was very ambivalent about starting a family.
Okay.
And the minute our first kid was born, he became like an evangelical for fatherhood.
So did he or you ever feel weird or uncomfortable? Like, oh, that's going to be my kid. Did that come into the equation?
That was my question. I asked Bob that question directly. I was like, is it weird to know that your wife has a child out there with another man?
Right.
What was Bob's answer?
He was like, I don't really look at it that way. And I was like, good, because I don't either.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
At all either.
Were you using a sperm donor?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the other weird thing.
Well, not weird. Just, you know.
Well, no, it's not weird. I'm just saying it's a whole other discussion.
Right.
You could have, and the way that you look at things is so odd. Like, I don't look at Teddy as like, it's weird. I don't look at Teddy as like Megan's child with a man that's not Bob. But at the same time, you know, but then we also haven't talked to him about how, you know, Megan's siblings are like his half siblings.
Right.
But if anything ever happened to me, like, let's say I were dying, I would totally like be ready to tell him that right now. You know what I mean? Like, cause I'd be like, you have family. This is even more special because, you know, he loves his cousin and now his cousin is like half, you know, related to him and even more related to him. But then you don't look at it that way when it's not, it's interesting. You think of it as genetic material, but then when I think about the fact that he has Megan's genes and Megan's genes, especially with the genes coming from the mother, makes it feel like it's my stuff that he got too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I just look at the things I want to look at. I don't really think about it until now that we're having this conversation. I haven't thought about this in a long time because, you know, life right. gets in the
yeah, of course.
Way. But, you know, it's interesting. Are but yeah, you... that's one of the things I asked Bob was, is it weird if you think about it this way?
Right, right. Well, Bob sounds great that he responded in that way. are you going to tell Teddy?
Yes. And you know, I have in certain ways told him because he, you know, he's starting to ask, you know, why do I have just a mom and some people have a mom and a dad and, you know, there's a kid in school that just has a grandmother.
Okay.
You know, so there's all these different types of families, but obviously the most common one he's going to run into is where there's a mom and a dad, or actually one of the most common is where there's a mom and a dad that don't live in the same house, it seems, for him. But,
okay.
You know, so there's a lot of trying to figure out when the right time is, and there's not a lot of, like, books out there on it.
Right.
So... You know,
although
I don't know if I'm doing it right so far. Although, right. Go ahead.
I do have a really good recommendation for, Irene already knows about this book, for a book for kids of families like this, which is called What Makes a Baby. And I can't remember the name of the author, but I think it's the only, or it's a very popular book at least. And it sort of removes, it's like a super inclusive book that allows for the possibility of like trans bodies and egg donation and sperm donation and surrogacy. And, you know, that's the book that we read to Olivia. And now I have a 3-year-old son and we read that to Wyatt too. So, you know, there's a lot of groundwork being laid in the age appropriate conversations where it's not going to be like,
right.
A bombshell.
Right.
Right. And you don't just go right into like chromosomes and mitochondrial
totally.
DNA and, you know, which I sometimes I do, not necessarily with him, but like, you know, I get into the science of things because I want it to be cut and dried as a scientific explanation. But I think that, you know, you have to be careful because what you don't get into is what they'll get into. So if I don't, you know, if we don't talk about heaven and what it is, just because I don't believe in it, he may get like obsessed with heaven. Or you know what I mean? Like
right,
I don't.
Right.
I think it's important to talk about the mystical and the moral stuff as well as the science stuff. So that'll probably be my struggle is just trying to get a little bit more into the emotional, mystical, you know, stuff and you know, and definitely leave him with the science and how, you know, because in my mind that the reason I was able to do this is because I tried to cancel all of the emotional stuff out and the, you know, how we make a family and how you need to fall in love with someone and then have sex with them and then, you know, be
right.
married to them and then have sex with them and all this stuff. And, you know, you don't want to take too much stuff out and just make it like, all you need is this, you know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
all you need is this cell and this other cell. And a warm place to grow it because,
right.
you know, you do need more than that. But like what, you know, what do you need? And
what
a sister.
What do you need? And Megan, I mean, are you going to wait until Eileen tells Teddy, until you tell your kids, for you to tell
oh,
your kids?
Oh, yes. And that has nothing to do with like feeling like, you know, Teddy needs to be treated very tenderly or carefully. It's more that an 8-year-old child has absolutely no filter.
Right.
And, you know, like Olivia has gone up to like open casket funerals and been like, that man's at the end of his life cycle, everybody.
I mean, she's not wrong.
That's correct.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So
our timing has to be right, and we have to like we have to do it in the right order.
Right, right.
I will say though, that you know that in laying all this groundwork, you know there is this kind of side effect which Eileen kind of touched on, which is you know the kids believe what they believe, and Olivia did ask me some birds and bees questions recently, and was mortified and disgusted to know that there was like a biological process that could be completed to result in a pregnancy in a child.
I mean,
she just
right.
thought that like everybody went to the doctor's office And the doctor took the sperm and the doctor took the egg and, you know, did the whole thing.
Right. So she knows how IVF works.
She sure does.
Right. So Teddy's like a virgin birth, really.
Right. Exactly.
It's so much cleaner that way.
What advice would you guys give to, I guess, Eileen, what advice would you give to someone in your position who is considering asking a family member to donate an egg or to donate sperm? Is there anything that
I would say just ask. You know, you kind of know in your gut. I mean, I knew even when I was looking for thinking about sperm donors and do I know a donor, you know, that I would want to ask. And I, you know, you want to really think, I think you want to think about the relationship. I think it's really important to, but if you have to think about it too much, maybe you want to think about an anonymous donor. Mm. You know, if there's any doubt in your mind about what the relationship is between you and the person who's donating, I think you should definitely go to a therapy session or two.
Right.
Both with yourself and the person that you're talking to about it. I think, you know, some families as close as they are can also be dysfunctional and, you know, you want to be sure. And sometimes maybe it's a little easier to go with someone that you don't know, but that has, you know, a similar background to you. Or, there was all this interesting stuff I learned too about sperm donors where like people would want to ask their girlfriend's brother so that they would have those genes of the, you know, it's interesting. You can't just think about the science. You have to think about the relationships and then there's that whole other facet of thinking about what the child's going to deal with when they're thinking about where they came from.
Right. You know? And also how you would feel about your sibling if they say no.
Right. Totally. Yep. And leaving it open to it will be, and I think Megan and I had this discussion, or I think I said it, where it will be okay if you can't do this.
Exactly. You know? Right.
There's, I need some advance notice, but it will be okay.
And Megan, what about you?
Yeah.
What advice would you give people?
So I also just want to speak a little bit about, you know, the fact that I have listened to the episode with your friend who whose sibling did not want to donate. And I think that he handled that so beautifully and gracefully and graciously. And I think that my advice is that I think that you just need to put relationship first and communicate, and there's no wrong way to feel about any of it.
Right.
But you have to have the kind of relationship where you can communicate. You have to have the kind of relationship to do this successfully. I think you have to have the kind of relationship where any feeling can be tolerated, that any emotion can be handled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eileen and I have a very trusting and loving relationship, and, you know, I've been a total rotten bitch to her plenty of times, and I've never felt like it was going to damage our relationship. I don't think that you can go through this process with a relationship that is, like, less stable than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not like we're incredibly stable people. Like,
no, we're like crazy.
Right. It's not about being like perfect or stable. You know,
no, we're fucking human. NYU would never have taken my eggs if it wasn't for someone who was like, yes, 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 I know there's cancer and schizophrenia somewhere in there. I get it.
Is there, right, because, yeah, I mean, you're not just doing an anonymous donation, and that's really meaningful. Is there anything else that you guys want to say that, you know, that you feel like people should know or that you just want to?
Oh, my God. Do Kegels. Just do them.
Oh, okay.
start them now.
I would say also whatever you're thinking about, just get started now. You know, mm-hmm. I think if I had done what I had wanted to do in the first place a couple of years earlier, I might have had my own eggs. You know, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, you just don't wait until everything's perfect. If you want something, you know, just put yourself out there. And if you want to ask someone, yeah, just do it.
That's really good advice.
You know, because at the end of the day, when you get that little kid, it really goes away. All the work you did to get them and what genetic material you used to make them.
Yeah.
It's all fraught, but whatever it is, when they come out, they're yours. You know, that first night when they vomit right, you know, in your face, in your mouth, like, you know, that's it. You're joined.
Right. So. Well, listen, you guys, this was so great. It was so great to talk to both of you, and your story is like really inspiring and beautiful. So thank
that's
you.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
So I think from now on, it should be the three of us, and Matt should just go back to his other podcast.
Yeah. I mean, he can just walk the dog, which is what he was doing while we were talking. Yeah, that sounds great. No, but
well,
really.
Well, good luck to you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm really, really enjoying, you know, listening along.
Oh, good.
Well, there you go, Dory. Your interview skills are on point.
Oh, thanks, honey.
That's it for this week's podcast. Couple of things we got to get out of the way. If you'd like to email us, you can do that. MattandDory@gmail.com.
Or DoryandMatt@gmail.
Yeah, if you'd like to call us and have a voicemail on the air. I'd like to one day have enough voicemails that we just do one voicemail mega mailbag.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Do you think you can? Well, I was thinking we could do like at some point we could do like a bonus episode that was just like voicemails.
No bonus episodes. Okay. It just seems like more work for me.
All right. Sorry.
But I'm thinking like maybe one episode just to get, you know, we get to all the people that leave voicemails.
I think that's a good idea.
We'll hear from Dom again.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Do you remember the phone number?
Nope. I know baby's at the end, though.
It's 413-461-BABY.
Mm-hmm. Baby. 413-461-BABY.
So please
leave
call
us a Google Voice. The cutoff is, what, 3 minutes?
We think it's 3 minutes.
We've decided it's 3 minutes.
And Mark from Wisconsin hasn't called back.
Mark from Wisconsin, fucking call back.
I know. We need to know the end of your story.
God, Mark.
I had a couple people be like, that was such a good voicemail, but what happened?
Yeah, I know. We're never going to know. Unless he calls back. Mark, call back.
Please.
Yeah, I think that we did a great job. You did a lot of the work here.
Well, thank you for taking out Bo 4 times.
You're welcome. Someone had to.
I know.
We'll see you again next week. Well, actually, I won't see you at all. You'll just hear us again next week.
Until we do our live show in Canada in the national park for free.
What a plan.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, Bo.
Okay. Bye.
Bo. Yeah, go sleep.